Amen. Would you all give it up again for Caroline coming all the way from Dallas, right? All the way from Dallas. We're so grateful to have her. A few quick announcements, Hope College. I'm continuing with this Faith in Film series, which I've mentioned a couple weeks ago. And so we're doing it on Thursday, a movie called American Fusion. I'd invite you to come out. It's free. You get to watch a movie and talk about it. I'm just saying, it's pretty cool. Also, I'm going to introduce our guest, who is the Reverend Dr. Christopher Davis. Y'all give it up for him. He is coming all the way from Memphis, Tennessee. He did not bring heat with him, but he did bring a sermon, and he's going to be here this morning. So y'all give it up for him as he comes.
Good morning, Hope. Normally, I'd do a much more formal introduction, but James says it's a real 10 minutes and not a black church 10 minutes, so let's get started. I want to lift up a few verses from 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Now the company of the prophet said to Elijah, 'As you see, the place where we live under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and let us collect logs there, one for each of us, and build a place there for us to live.' He answered, 'Do so.' Then one of the men said, 'Please come with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will.' So he went with them. When they came to Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water. He cried out, 'Alas, master, it was borrowed.' Then the man of God said, 'Where did it fall?' When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float." For just a few moments, I want to share from this thought or this topic, it's back where you left it. Our story opens with the school of the prophets bringing a problem to Elijah that I think is worthy of a few minutes of our time for the purpose of exegetical examination. They say to Elijah in verse number 1, "Things have gone so well under your leadership that we no longer have adequate space to fully function in the larger vision you have cast for us." They say to him, "This place is too small for us. We can't stay in lesser if you really want to see us do greater." And so my question to some of you at the outset of this sermon is, how many of you all have arrived at a place in your life that where you are is too small to be who it is that God has called you to be? Or to do what it is that God has called you to do? Maybe your thinking is too small. Maybe the box you've allowed other people to place you in is too small. Maybe the people you allow to influence you are too small. Again, have you reached the point where you're saying to yourself, "Good enough is no longer good enough for me"? You see, the enemy wants you to downsize your opinion of yourself. But here's what the Lord sent me all the way to Hope College to share with you this morning. You've got to get to the point where you understand that you cannot underestimate the largeness of the greatness that's inside of you. I'll say it again. Don't underestimate the largeness of the greatness that's inside of you. They say to Elijah, "Where we are is too small." Let me point out just a few principles from the text, and we will leave here together in approximately 8 minutes. Here's the first thing. Where you have an interest, there must also be some action. Verse 1 shows their interest, expansion. They say, "This place is too small for us." In verse 2, they say, "Let us go to the Jordan. Let every man grab a log so we can build a larger space." So verse 1 shows interest. Verse 2 shows their action. You see, when you're really convinced that good enough is no longer good enough for you, you won't just have an interest, but you will also take some action. They don't ask Elijah to prophesy about it. They don't say, "Pray it into existence." They don't waste their time wishing for it. They understand that the only way to witness it was for them to work on it. I want to suggest to you that this text has been tailored to teach us that God provides vision and provision, but you must provide the energy and the effort. I'm convinced that we're in a season where God is taking note of our action to see if what we do is as prevalent as what we say. Because God is not moved by our words. God is looking for our work. There must be some action where we say we have some interest. They didn't leave it to Elijah to build it. They said, "Allow us to do something about our present predicament. Let us affect this change that we want to see." You want better grades? Study more. You want to be promoted on your job? Start by getting to work on time. You don't like what you see in your community? Then get involved. You're concerned about the distribution of wealth? Then become producers rather than consumers. Where you have an interest, it must also be accompanied by some action. They have a vision. We need a larger place. They have a strategy. We're going to where the trees are. They've identified their resources. We're going to use the logs we have to build what we want. In order to experience manifestation of that which is greater, you need a vision, you need a strategy, and you need recognizable resources. One of the things that concerns me about this modern church is we're high on spirituality, but we're low on practicality. When you read the text, you discover there was nothing deep, nothing spooky spiritual about what they did. They said, God's got some trees, we've got some axes, let's cut some logs and make it happen. So verse 4 says that when they get down to the Jordan River, they began to cut down trees. And as they were cutting, one of them loses the axe head. Now keep in mind, all he's doing is cutting down trees and he loses his edge. Sometimes you can lose your edge, lose your momentum while you're in pursuit of the things of God. You see, you can get so busy in daily rituals and routines of life that you lose interest before you even know it. You didn't realize that your tank for the things of God was nearly empty. You didn't realize that your body was in the classroom, but your mind was somewhere else. You didn't realize that you were trying to live today's life on yesterday's memories. You didn't realize that you no longer had concern for interest in things that really mattered. Listen, never get so busy doing what you do that you forget why you do what you do. So the natural question is, how do I get it back? How do I get my edge back? How do I regain my momentum? Well, verse 5 says, he cries out, "Alas, master." When he loses his edge, he says, "Alas, master." The first thing you've got to do is realize you cannot get it back on your own. The young prophet didn't stand there just staring at the water. He did the only thing he could do. He cried out to God. He realized that he could not get it back on his own. His only hope was in the power of God. So the next time you find yourself feeling like you're losing momentum, losing excitement, losing interest in the thing of God, don't waste time trying to fix it by yourself. Cry out to God. So the text says, the young man loses his axe head and he cries out, "Alas, master, it was borrowed." He lost what he needed and it wasn't even his. Here it is. You will never fully function and move into greatness using someone else's equipment. He said, "Master, it was borrowed." Yes, all of us gained from others through mentoring and teaching and so forth. But at some point, the uniqueness of your authenticity is what God wants to use. You need your own equipment, your gifts, your talent, your personality, your creativity, your ingenuity. You have to use what God has given you. The text says he cried out, "It was borrowed." And Elijah said, "Where did it fall?" He did not ask him, "Where did you lose it?" He said, "Where did it fall?" That's because the axe head isn't lost. It's just back where he left it. You hadn't lost your momentum. It's just back where you left it. You've not lost your joy. It's just back where you left it. You haven't really lost enthusiasm for the things of God. It's just back where you left it. And so my question today is, where did you leave it? Where did you drop it? What happened to cause you to walk away from it? What was the hurt that caused you to abandon it? What was the bad news that made you forget about it? Where did you leave it? But the good news is, since it's not lost, since it's back where you left it, you can always go back and get it. Tell someone next to you, go back and get it. Go back and get your joy. Go back and get your peace. Go back and get your purpose. Go back and get your confidence. Go back and get your smile. The text says he points to where he left it. Elijah threw a stick in the water. Now I'm confused. The axe head is heavy. It's already sunk into the bottom. How is a stick going to cause iron to move back up in the water? Well, I struggled with it for a while. I kept reading commentaries. I finally got frustrated because they were all trying to be deep. They talked about the trajectory at which it was thrown and the ripple effect. So finally I said, forget it. I closed the commentary and the Holy Spirit said, finally, I can help you now. I said, help me. And the first thing that the Holy Spirit said to me was, instead of trying to figure out how it happened, just celebrate the fact that it did happen, because what that means is God already has a plan for everything that you've lost. But watch this. He said, Alas, master, it was borrowed, which means it was not his. And now there is a debt that has been created that he could not pay. So to keep him from paying a debt he couldn't pay, the prophet took a piece of wood, threw it in the water, and all of a sudden, the debt was paid. Do you know why that blesses me? Do you know why that causes me to rejoice? Because I had a debt that I could not pay. But Jesus went up on a piece of wood, hung up there, and would not come down until my debt was paid. The old church put it like this. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I'll cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Let the record reflect, I only had 10 minutes and I only used 8. Let's pray right there. Let's pray there. God, I love you. God, I thank you for Hope College. I thank you for the students at Hope College. God, I decree and declare that these are indeed the best days of their life. God, lead them and guide them in the direction that you would have them go. And God, in case there is anyone under the sound of my voice who feels like they're losing momentum, they're losing interest, help them to know today, dear God, it's not lost. It's back where they left it, and they can go back and get it. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise.